It's time to get up, get motivated, and start making moves for yourself instead of working to make someone else rich. These are genuine experiences and the stories of real entrepreneurs that made the ultimate decision to live for themselves in order to achieve unbelievable results. You're listening to The Time Is Now, making your business personal. Now here's your host, Kent Clothier.
What's happening, everybody? Coming to you live here from my offices here in La Jolla, California, joined by a good friend of mine, Brian Elwood, out of Colorado. What is going on, brother?
Not much. I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Hey, man. Glad you made it. So I've got Brian on here today because we've worked together in the past in a coaching relationship, right? Where we got the opportunity to work together with your business there in Tennessee. And since then, you have grown like I could never have imagined. I'm so, you know, I'm unbelievably proud of you guys and very, very happy for you guys and what you've been able to accomplish. Now I know you live in Colorado, yet you continue to invest in Tennessee and I guess maybe even some other places. And you've gone out and you've put a book out. You've really kind of perfected this virtual wholesaling thing. So I thought that's what we kind of, you know, maybe talk about a little bit today, because a lot of people have a tendency to get trapped in believing, you know, their own bullshit and what is possible, what isn't possible, and all that kind of stuff. And I know that has a tendency to kind of keep them confined, if you will, into their own dilemma, their own circumstances, right? They just don't understand what is truly possible when you set out and decide, this is what I want to make happen. And you have certainly proven that that's possible, and you can live the life you want to live, and you can live where you want to live, and you can invest wherever you want to invest. And so I thought that we would just kind of talk about it and kind of maybe have you share some of your thoughts and some of your experiences and maybe some of your wisdom with everybody today.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Let's do it, bro. Let's start from the beginning. Kind of give everybody a little bit of background on you, kind of where you started, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. So I won't give you too much crap, but I graduated from University of Tennessee, got the good old degree in English, and moved back to Nashville. You know, stepping back a moment, I was raised most of my life in Nashville.
Got it.
So after I moved back there after college, I did the corporate thing for a few years and, you know, absolutely hated it. And so I kind of started doing a little bit of soul searching. I got a crappy job at a grocery store and started shaking hands with everybody that came in there and was just desperate. You know, I was in the bathroom reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was peeing and stuff. Like, I knew that change was on the horizon, basically. And fast forwarding a bit, I did end up meeting a guy there in that grocery store that was a real estate investor.
I thought you were telling me you met a guy there in the bathroom. So but anyway, go ahead.
Oh man, that would have been a whole other podcast episode.
Exactly. Let's just stop and then
yeah, anyways, so he was a rehabber and he taught me how to find deals, and I made a few bird dog fees kind of working for him, and then realized I could do it on my own. So I went out, you know, started my own business. I partnered up with Frank and we started wholesaling and flipping and buying rentals kind of in Nashville and all across Middle Tennessee. You know, we hired you and we hired Joe McCall at one point too. And those were some major turning points in our businesses that, you know, we could possibly talk more about today. And yeah, we scaled more and more to where, you know, we were doing over 100 deals a year between wholesaling and flipping, buying rentals and all that. Then we got on this kick about systemizing your business, automating your business, and so we made a rule where we are going to set up our business to where we are not allowed to leave our house. We're still investing in Nashville, and we lived in Nashville. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. And we got that set up after we hired enough people. And then once that the business was that way, we said, hey, we don't have to live here anymore. You know, now we can literally live anywhere because we're running it from the computer and the phone anyways.
Yeah, no doubt. Right.
And so that's a cool way that you can do it, is if you want to automate your business and you invest in the same city you currently live in, which is most people's story, is just make yourself a rule where you're not allowed to go see any houses or meet anybody or don't agree to go get coffee and, you know, look at a house. And
so why was that important to you? I mean, what was the motivation behind that? Was to see if the business could run without you?
Well, I guess it was more to give me the lifestyle of being able to wake up and run the business in my pajamas if I wanted to, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I've ever gotten our business to a point where I literally do nothing and money just comes in. You know, I've always had to manage people, look at KPIs, be on calls with people and stuff like that. But I have gotten it to the point, you know, where that's all I did. I never looked at a lead. I never made an offer. I never analyzed anything or sold a deal to a buyer. I never stepped foot in any of the properties. But yeah, I think it was more of a lifestyle thing ultimately. So now, like you said, I live in Denver, do all of my investing in Nashville. I should mention also that Frank and I are no longer business partners. It was an amicable split, but we both kind of decided to go in a different direction. I'm more interested in the education space now and helping other people achieve financial freedom than anything else, and continuing to mainly work on growing my rental portfolio. And Frank's focusing more on kind of the wholesaling side now. Mm-hmm. But he actually lives in Denver too. We both moved here. He has a son that lives here. So it's kind of a strange coincidence. That's funny. Both still invest in Nashville. Yeah.
So you're sitting there now. So what is the business look like back in Nashville while you're sitting in Denver? Tell me what the structure is back in Nashville.
Well, like I said, it's a strange time because we're kind of going through a breakup, so to speak. So I have a couple of the employees and he has a couple. And so I should probably just sort of tell you how it looked 2 months ago
and how both of
our businesses are going to look once we kind of reestablish them. So we've got a full-time acquisition manager, the boots on the ground guy, and then we have a phone guy who's an inside sales rep, just grinds the phone all day long, answers the calls live, an office manager to do all the day-to-day tasks, paying the bills, getting the mail, etc. We have a renovation manager who goes and looks at the properties and keeps the contractors on a short leash and makes sure they actually do what they said they were going to do.
And these are all 1099 employees, or are these all W-2?
All W-2.
Okay. So they work for you, period.
Yeah. Yeah. The advice we got was that you can't really make an employee a 1099 unless they work for you as well as other people. Or otherwise, they're not technically a contractor.
Right.
They work solely for you. And so, yeah, these are all full-time jobs. And then we have a full-time marketing manager, as we call it. His whole job is to find leads, basically. Mm-hmm. That's about it. We had a disposition manager for a while that was in charge of, you know, selling contracts to buyers and stuff, but we kind of phased that roll out. And yeah, that's about what the business looks like.
So who are you guys selling most of your deals to? Are they local rehabbers there? Are they people looking for rentals? What does an average transaction look like for you guys?
It's probably divided 50-50 between we're going to either keep it ourselves and rent it or rehab it, or we're going to assign it to somebody else. And so if we're going to assign it to somebody, we usually just work with maybe the 5 or 10 biggest buyers in the area. You know, we've never really had the whole massive buyers list thing. I think it was you that taught us about reverse wholesaling. You know, that's where you find. So we would, you know how people pull lists of absentee owners all the time, right? Mm-hmm. To mail to. What they don't realize, and they usually say, well, I want 10 years of equity. So I'm going to go back 10 years and get all the absentee owners. But what people don't realize is if you just do the same thing, but you only go back maybe 1 year or 2 year. So let's say everyone who bought a house from 2015 till today, absentee owned, those are the current active buyers. And then if you don't exclude duplicates when you purchase a list, you get all of them. So you can see, oh, this dude bought 87 houses in the last 2 years. And you can create a pivot table with a spreadsheet and literally rank them in order. The top 10 buyers in your market. And you'll see the first two will be American Homes for Rent and companies like that. Mm-hmm. But then the rest of them are the biggest players, the guys with really deep pockets that are going to be really easy to work with, that you want to knock on their door. And that's what we did, and built those relationships with the top dogs in our area. And then you can assign a contract with a phone call really easily. You don't have to blast it to a massive list or anything like
that. Yeah, which doesn't serve anybody anyway. I mean, the reality of it is if you do that, you're just like everybody else, which is, you know, not any good. So
right.
I would say that you got to create what your key differentiators and make sure that you are exploiting them fully.
Exactly.
So now that you're going through a little bit of a breakup and you guys are breaking it apart and it's all amicable and all that kind of good stuff, what's been the big lesson there? Because I'm sure there's all kinds of people that have gone through that same kind of process, and I'm sure they'd love to hear, you know, hey, I wonder what's going on in their world. I wonder how they handled it. You know, how did it all go down?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think most partnerships work for a period of time, but people grow apart basically over time.
And well, I think if you'll remember, probably one of the things I shared with you guys was that you always get divorced before you get married, right? What does it look like if you're going to break this apart?
Because funny enough, yeah, it was you that forced us to put together the paperwork.
Yeah.
What would happen if we were to split up. I'm glad you had us do that. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, now you understand the point of that, right? Because when you're trying to do all that in the heat of the battle, it's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's all just there, it's just there.
It's just business at the end of the day. You know, we realized that us splitting up was actually a solid business decision for both of us. Like at the end of the day, no emotions. Like we're both going to do better on our own than we would together. And the reason was simply that we just over time grew to share different visions for how the company was going to be. Mm-hmm. And when two people co-own a business, they really need to be 110% on the same page about the purpose of the business. Or otherwise, there's always going to be this kind of gentle game of tug and war that gets played. Or, I think we should do this. Well, I think we should do that. And you're always compromising and coming to an agreement. There's a story about like a man who's getting dressed for work and he's got black shoes on. And his wife comes in the room and she's like, no, you need to wear brown shoes. They look better. But he's like, no, I want to wear black shoes. And they can't agree. And so the way that they decide to solve it is he wears one black shoe and one brown shoe to work.
Yeah, exactly.
So the moral of the story is that the compromise is not always better than just one or the other path, right? And so I wanted to kind of go more in the education space and focusing on growing passive income. And Frank more wants to grow a flipping business, kind of what we traditionally always had done. And so it made more sense for us to break apart and let each other do what we both want and run our companies. So, so we're both happy with it for sure. We both feel like we have a lot more freedom and everything else.
So let's talk about what you're passionate about. It sounds like your passion has moved towards wanting to get into the education space. Let's talk about that, right? So why is this calling coming to you now and what are you working on and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we saw, I don't know if you were there or not, CG, a handful of meetings ago, but we saw Dean Graziosi speak. He was actually in Denver, so it was a while ago.
Yeah, I spoke at that same event, yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he talked about how when they surveyed tons of entrepreneurs about what is your why on your deepest level, if you ask your why like seven times, freedom was the main thing that people get to. That's why we get up and grind and we're willing to work 80 hours a week so we don't have to work 40 hours a week, right? It's to have the ability. And I remember you said this a long time ago. If I want to lay on the floor with my daughter at 10 o'clock in the morning, I can do it, right? Because I've built that control into my life. That's sort of what I've always has driven me. Like I want to be able to go to the gym right after we get done talking if I want to, or shut the computer off and ride my longboard for the rest of the day. Or work my ass off and create something. But I want to choose when I want to be able to do that. And that's and my passion is giving other people the freedom to make those same choices in their own life. And so basically what I'm launching here in a couple of days is an educational program called Freedom University. And basically it's people come in and learn how to buy rental portfolios and build businesses virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people don't talk about. You know, you think you have to buy houses in your own backyard. I was listening to one of your podcasts the other day about how, you know, like if people trying to buy rentals in La Jolla would be insane, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I've grown to realize that my true passion is teaching. I've always wanted to be an educator, teacher. I was originally going to be a college professor before I changed paths. And the main thing I'm passionate about is teaching people how to design a lifestyle that they actually enjoy. They actually want to live, yep. Right? Instead of just being a victim and having to do all this crap that they hate all day. I see my buddies suffering through that and it pisses me off. And so that's kind of what I'm all about these days.
I love it, dude.
Hey, this is Kent, and thanks for listening to the show. Listen, if you're an experienced real estate investor and you're just looking for a way to make the business easier, you're in the right place. This is exactly what we are known for. Do yourself a favor. Go check us out at thetimeisnow.com. Right there on the page, you'll see an offer to get access to a special offer that we're running right now for monthly access to our SMART system. SMART system stands for Strategic Marketing and Real Estate Training. It is an opportunity to get our best-selling software at a huge, huge discount just for being a listener. Now, when you get in there, we'll give you access to cash buyers, nationwide access to a list of cash buyers, nationwide access to all of the deals throughout the country, vacant properties, properties that have a ton of equity in them, properties that are deeply discounted and easy to flip, as well as nationwide access to our private lender database. Again, do yourself a favor, get signed up for that low, low monthly discounted offer over at thetimeisnow.com.
Talk to me. You've got a book has come out, Fire Yourself. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I actually have a copy right here. I'll just show it real quick for the video. The book is all about how to hire an acquisition manager for your real estate investing business. Basically, I see that as one of the biggest weaknesses that most companies have if they don't have one. Because if you don't have one, what are you going to do? You're going to be taking 40 phone calls a day and calling people back and looking at leads and making offers and going on appointments and following up. It's a full-time job, easy to be a sales guy. So when we hired our first acquisition guy, we had done $300,000 or $400,000 in gross revenue for 2 years in a row. And within 1 year of hiring him, we broke $1 million.
Exactly.
And stayed there for 4 years straight. And I attribute everything to that one decision to remove that bottleneck in our business and hire the acquisition manager. So this book is like an operations manual on exactly everything you need to do to hire, onboard, train, manage, get results from an acquisition manager, how to pay them, the KPIs to track. It's an easy read and it'll give you everything you need.
How do people get it?
I'm giving it away for free at fireyourself.net.
Okay, fireyourself.net. We'll make sure we include that in the show notes for sure. So people are going to learn how to go hire your acquisitions manager. It's a step-by-step, play-by-play, what they need to go through. And I know that you attribute a lot of your growth to this one individual. Why do you think that is? What do you think it is about this particular position? And what made you focus right here?
Well, I mean, as you know, marketing and sales are the lifeblood of businesses. They make or break a business. And we talk a lot about marketing and real estate and direct mail and how to get leads and all this stuff, but there's not really a lot of focus placed upon sales. I'd say sales is equally as important as marketing, but really in the initial phase, it's more of most people's biggest bottleneck is they have tons of leads. I have coaching students who won't hire an acquisition manager, but they will send out all the mail. But then when all the calls come in, they don't answer them. They don't call them back. They don't ever go on the appointment. They don't ever make any offers. And they're like, yeah, I hate this part of the job. I hate it too. That's why I don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is the guy that we hired was worse than we were at sales. But because he was doing it three times as often as us, he outperformed us 3-1. That's why our business went from $300,000 to $1 million, is due to the sheer volume of activity that he was generating, just grinding phone calls, offers, appointments. You know, he was going on 10, 12 appointments a week, whereas when we did that job ourselves, we only went on 2 or 3 a week because we were splitting our time between that and marketing and being a leader and managing renovations and, you know, doing the paperwork for everything, you know, all the crap we shouldn't have been doing. But you get my point. You know, it's just the sheer volume of activity that they generate. Pat Precourt said to me at one of the first CGs we were ever at, he's like, it doesn't matter if there's 60, if you can hire someone 60% as good as you, they will outperform you 3-1 simply because they're doing it all day long. And so would it be worth it to you to triple your revenue and only have to give away maybe 10% of it to somebody, an acquisition manager? Of course it would.
Yeah, it's a huge roadblock for people. Hiring in general is a huge roadblock for people. And I would argue that it's probably the single biggest thing that prohibits people from having freedom is they get caught in that internal conversation of nobody's going to do it as good as I do it, or whatever the case may be, right? All that bullshit that people tell themselves just holds them back. And the reality of it is, as you've proven and as we've all proven, is that it is instrumental to your success, to your point. I mean, having somebody that's nowhere near as good as you, but just focusing all their efforts on it, just the sheer time and energy that they're spending on it will create massive opportunity inside of your business. Massive opportunity. And if all you do is set up your business from a management structure where at the end of the day, you're just kind of coming over the top. In other words, they're doing all of that legwork. They're doing all of that, you know, the grind that has to take place, but you are finally, you know, you have the final say. You're signing off on that final deal or whatever that, you know, you are the last box to be checked. You win in quite literally every phase of the business. You get your freedom, you get your time, you get the more money, you get more opportunity. I mean, it's such a silly, silly concept for people to think that way. But unfortunately, it is the norm. It's not the exception, right? It is quite literally If I lined up 100 people that were trying to get to the next level, this would be, in 99 of the cases, this would be the thing holding them back.
Wow.
That I am not comfortable making that hire.
Yeah.
And I want to slow down to train them. And I don't want to, you know, whatever it is. It's, again, all the bullshit conversation that we tell ourselves to kind of keep us from having to actually do something that feels a little risky, taking our hands off the wheel for a few minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, really, if you look at this hire for nothing more, look at it as a chance to break out of that old mindset that you're talking about and learn how to hire and get results out of other people, learn how to leverage other people. Because as soon as we made this hire, I mean, we said, this is awesome. What other parts of our business can we replace ourselves in? And we've picked the next biggest bottleneck and hired that person, then the next biggest. Then we had all of a sudden we had this team of 8 people and we weren't doing anything. We were making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, dude, we're doing this for freedom. And anything short of freedom, meaning you walk away, do whatever the hell you want to do, but do not go into the business. Walk away. Have the freedom to walk away and the business still perform. And if you come back in 2 weeks or 2 months, and there is more money in the bank account than when you left, then you have a business. If you don't, then there is still opportunity inside of the business for improvement. I tell people all the time, it's just always about options. If you're passionate about marketing, or you're passionate about education, or you're passionate about whatever the hell it is inside of your business, I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm just telling you to create a situation where you have the option of not doing that. Because the moment that option is actually created is the moment you have freedom.
Absolutely.
Until then, the business is still dependent upon you. And that's a constant struggle, right? I mean, it is, it never, ever, ever stops. You have to constantly be looking in the business to try to find those opportunities to do that. And as the business grows and you get sucked into this project or that project or whatever the case may be, I mean, now you're trying to build an education business, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's all kinds of entanglements there that have to be addressed, right? And sooner rather than later, you're going to try to get to a situation where that business can run without you. And so you'll just apply the exact same philosophies and strategies that you've applied and just do it all over again.
And guess what I did? Right when I started the education business, I hired basically what you would call a COO or an integrator or the person who takes my vision and makes it a reality. And he works for me now. And I can just say things like, hey, man, I want to start a podcast. And he actually researches how to do it, gets the artwork created, gets the files uploaded, all that crap. So all I have to do is press record and create some content, and then it becomes a reality. And the reason I hired him right away is because I've learned through my real estate business that that is the way to grow any business. So once you learn to leverage other people, you never want to go back. I mean, one of the questions you sent me that you said you might ask or whatever on this episode was, what's one thing you spend a silly amount of money on? I spent a silly amount of money getting everything delivered to my house and done for me. So
you and me both, brother.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a guy that brings, distilled water every 2 weeks. Our groceries get delivered from Whole Foods once a week. We get Postmates to bring us dinner from restaurants. We get our grass cut. Some guy comes and picks up the dog poop every week from our yard. I probably have a new Amazon box on my porch every single day. You know, the list goes on and on. And it's all because it's not worth my time to do this.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about that, because there's going to be people. So you know, the people that are listening here, we've got a pretty broad audience, but there are a lot of people that are listening to this that are still in the grind, right? They're trying to figure out how to go to the next level. And they're trying to figure out how to get out of that 9-to-5 or whatever the hell they're doing right now. And they want to get into becoming an entrepreneur. They want to be successful at being an entrepreneur. When they hear you and I make comments like that, there's this consumer thinking immediately that goes off in their brain. That basically tells them, God, what a dipshit. You know, why would you spend money on having somebody come up and mow your yard or whatever you could do that, right? Well, that's not the point. And so I want everybody to clearly understand these things. I mean, because I'm exactly the same way, right? I have somebody that's in our home we have a nanny that's in our home every day helping us with the kids and meals. And then we have, you know, again, meals delivered and the same thing, Postmates and Amazon and trunk club, you know, and so I have, you know, even my freaking shopping, I don't go to the mall. I have clothes delivered to my house.
So
and
I can I,
go
yeah.
through, right.
Yeah.
Water delivered. I mean, you name it. And the whole point of it is that when you add up collectively, we live in an amazing time, right? And this math is fairly simple to do. When you add up collectively, all of the time that is saved by not having to go do those things, it is thousands of hours in a year. Thousands of hours in a year. And so to pay a few dollars here or there for a delivery of this, or, you know, a premium, oh, well, I got to pay somebody $5 to deliver my dinner. Okay, no problem. When you add up all the time that I'm, so let's just say it's 1,000 hours, and let's just say that same 1,000 hours over the course of a year probably cost me $10,000 in extra fees that I'm paying.
Right.
Well, guys, that's $10 an hour. Would you pay somebody $10 for one of your hours? That's the way to think about this, right? If I ask you right now, what is the most precious thing you've got? Any of you that would answer anything less than time, you're just ignorant. You just don't fully understand what's really going on in the real world. Time is the most precious thing you've got, period. It is not money. It is time. Mm-hmm. I promise you, when you're on your deathbed, you are not going to sit there and say, I just wish I had more money. But you almost certainly will say, I wish I just had more time. And so you have to get into that mindset. So if time is the most precious thing you've got, and we measure time in hours, then the most precious thing you've got is an hour of time. And here, somebody, you can quite literally buy an hour of your time back for $10 of your most precious thing. Many of you wouldn't even get up out of bed and go do work for anything less than $50, $100, or $200 an hour. And yet here you are quite literally able to buy one of those things back for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about it like that. And when you get onto that side of the thinking, then what Brian's saying really kind of all starts to click. It's like, dude, how many hours can I buy? Holy shit, man, I just want to buy hours everywhere. I mean, I can't buy enough hours for $10.
Because
I'm winning. I mean, if I can spend $400 and buy 40 hours this week back, that I get to go hang out with my kids, hang out with my, you know, my parents, their grandparents, go hang out with my wife, go just do, or just lay around on the couch and watch football and hold my daughter and just share these moments, right? Or travel or do what I'm quite literally now putting myself in a situation where I get to choose what I'm doing with those hours for $10 each. And that's a win. And when you get into that kind of thinking, then what Brian's talking about, firing yourself and putting people in place and putting systems in place and not going into the office and doing all of these other things becomes the game, right?
Man, yeah, that's, you said that really well. I've never thought about it backwards like that, like buying the hours back, but oh man, it's powerful. I think that there's, because I get a lot of shit for not mowing my grass and stuff like that. People kind of say, what? You pay someone $50 to do that? You know, I'm like, even my friends even say, I'll come on mower it for $50. I mean, they literally want, I mean, you know, it doesn't even make any sense, but I think there's, I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you do, but there's some sort of, I guess we were taught, you know, as kids by our parents that hard work is important. Saving money is important. Not being flashy and wasteful is important. And I think people perceive it as being wasteful when you pay someone to cut your grass or, you know, cause you could do it yourself technically, but you got to realize that you're shortchanging the world in other ways. When you choose to spend your time and energy cutting the grass, are you familiar with Dan Sullivan and Strategic Coach?
Okay. Yeah.
So for those of the listeners that aren't, he's one of the top coaches of entrepreneurs in the world. And he said that the main thing that is kind of the foundation of his entire message is this idea of your unique ability, figuring out what your unique ability is and double, triple, quadruple down on that one thing and quit all the other crap so that you can make a bigger impact. And so I'm not just watching Netflix when the guys are cutting the grass. I'm recording this episode to help people, right? I'm writing a book to help people. I'm doing things that I can add way more value to the world than I could ever add with that $50 I'm going to save if I cut it myself. You know, so that's another thing to think about. Unique ability is everything.
Yeah. At the end of the day, guys, I mean, you are, and again, this is applicable across all facets of business, right? But to your point, it is about options. Right. And so when you have the option to control your time, then you have the option to do what you choose. Now, to your point, whether that is out there, many of us, many of the most successful people that I know, what we focus on is creating impact, right? Making a difference, leaving a legacy, knowing that the world is different because we were here. And that can manifest itself in all kinds of ways. That could be with your kids. That could be with your wife. That could be with your parents. I mean, basically, there's a lot that could be with your community, your church, that could be with your charity, that could be with your business, that could be with education, impacting others. I mean, so I relate to this very, very well, right? This is exactly what Real Estate Worldwide is about. The time is now is our obviously our catchphrase that we say over and over and over. Our mission is to wake them up. I mean, we are on a mission to get into people's faces and show them what is possible, period. And this podcast is a product of that. And so I clearly understand where you're coming from, brother. And I understand it fully, but I want people to not lose sight of the message here is that whatever you want to do, whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's creating a better future just for your kids, that is impact, right? And it can start there. But whatever you do, do not sit back on your ass and believe that time is on your side and you've got time to spare and I'll just get to it tomorrow, the next week, next year, 2 years, whatever. Do not do that. Go now, put yourself in an uncomfortable situation, take the risk, get people on board that help you to even, you know, make your vision bigger and greater and more grand and more impactful. These are the things that matter. Sitting around talking about what should have happened or what could have happened or what, you know, you wish had happened in the past is just nothing but a bullshit existence. And so go for it and go for it in a very big way, but give yourself the opportunity to do it the way it should be done. And that's the reason why, you know, a guy like Brian is on here is because that's what this whole thing is about, is that I want you to hear from people that have made that turn, that have quite literally been in the exact same position you are. And have now fast forward several years later and the light bulbs have gone off, right? It's suddenly it's a game now. How can I do more? Right?
Absolutely. You know, you probably heard the survey they did where they asked a bunch of people who were on their deathbeds, what was your biggest regret in life? And these are the elderly people of society that have lived their entire life that we should learn from. What's it like at the very end of life, right? Mm-hmm. And they surveyed hundreds or thousands of these people. And the main thing that they said, the main answer that they gave was that they wish they would have lived their life on their own terms rather than live their life, you know, for other people, basically, or done the things that other people told them to do, you know what I mean?
And let somebody else decide what their outcome was going to be.
Exactly.
Which is a bullshit way to live. And quite frankly, unfortunately, it is the norm.
Yeah.
And so I applaud what you're doing, brother. I totally get it. It's something I'm very, very passionate about, as you know. That I feel like I'm a very similar situation. I was put here to do this one thing, and that is to wake people up and kind of give them a path to get the hell out of their own way. So I'm hoping that we have the opportunity to do some stuff together here sooner rather than later as well, dude.
Me too. And you know, that's another reason why I promote buying cash flowing real estate, is because if nothing else, if you know, if you refuse to figure out what you're passionate about and monetize that, you can at least replace your income with passive income, and then you can sit in the pool all day if you want to. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
They're the perfect marriage, really, is passive income through real estate. I know you guys are, that's your main message with Memphis Invest and everything, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's what we do every day, right? I mean, so you're, again, our paths are crossing. So, well, dude, for the sake of time, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah. So like I said, if you want my book about hiring an acquisition manager, it's free. Go to fireyourself.net. I'm also teaching a weekly live webinar currently on Thursday evenings, and you can register for that at virtualinvestingclass.com. And lastly, I'm launching Freedom University, which is our membership program, in a couple days. You can learn about that through the webinar at virtualinvestingclass.com. And it's all about how to create a life of freedom, living life on your own terms, and being your own boss and doing what you want all day. Exactly what Kent and I talked about. So check it out.
I love it, brother. Well, man, thanks for being on here today. Thanks for sharing everything. And guys, all of the links that Brian just mentioned, we'll make sure they are on the show notes. You can see that at kentclothier.com or thetimeisnow.com. Just go check out the podcast. We'll get, again, all of the information there on how to get back to Brian. Brian, I appreciate the message, brother. I appreciate the time. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. I appreciate all the kind words. Do us a favor and leave us a review on iTunes. And until we meet again, peace.
You've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more for you over at thetimeisnow.com, where you can sign up for our free mailing list to help you make the next big shift in your career. As always, we'll see you next time on the Time Is Now podcast, where your business is personal.